And the Bible says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and it is so good to be here today with your people. And Lord, we would ask you, Lord, to help us that we could learn something from your word. Lord, we want to hear from you today. Lord, we want to know that you are with us, Lord, and we want you to speak to our hearts. Lord, please change us. Lord, help us to conform more to your image and not our own. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Last year, back in, I think it was back in January, I was driving through the village, and to get to one of the preaching points that we were at, we had to go through about three other villages. And as we were going through the largest of them, I noticed that there was a really big crowd of people that were all gathered there. And in Africa, it's very rare that you find a large gathering of people, especially in the small rural villages, unless something really big is going on. And so we went to our Bible study, and then later that evening, we were driving back, and we pulled over, and as we were inquiring, we went to the people, and we said, you know, what's going on in this village? Why are there so many people here? And they said, well, haven't you heard? The witch doctor is coming. And, you know, in all the years that I've been in Africa, you know, people always ask me if we have dealings with a witch doctor, and I haven't. I mean, we've heard about them, we've seen where they live, but we've never really had any run-ins. But, you know, they said the witch doctor is coming, and we said, oh, wow, that's interesting. But we decided that we're going to stay there, and just, you know, it was one of our villages in the area that we were ministering in, and we felt at least we had to stay and make sure that things were okay. And sure enough, after a few minutes, this lady in this white robe walked out of the bush. Her face was painted white. She was surrounded by about five guys with clubs. And, you know, as she approached the crowd, and there had to be a few hundred people, she approached the crowd, they all just kind of parted, and right in the middle was this big, ornate chair. And it was like the chair of honor in their village. And they had decorated it, and she just kind of walked through the crowd and sat down. And it was interesting because here was a witch doctor, and she was given probably even more honor than the headman of the village was given. And for the next couple hours, I was there, and you know, she was speaking in some, I think, Nigerian language, which wasn't local. So there was her speaking in Nigerian, then an interpreter speaking in Chichewa, and I know a little bit of Chichewa, so I had to kind of interpret that into English. So as all this is going on, and I'm trying to figure out what she's doing, you know, I'm listening to her, and for about 2-3 hours, she was just threatening the people and really bringing her will down on them. And looking at the people there, looking at the children, you could see they were clearly afraid. Looking at the kids, they were in terror because they grow up with a great fear for witchcraft, a great fear for being cursed. And so to have this witch doctor in their village threatening that she could kill them all, and here's these children looking at that as she pulls out, you know, dead birds and all these different things, that these totems that she has. And it grieved my heart because, you know, we have something so special. Yeah. And we don't have to grow up with that. We don't have to grow up in fear of this superstition and in fear of the works of darkness. And watching that day, you know, it grieved my heart to the extent where I was like, man, what do I do? I need to stop this meeting. But to just stand up and say, okay, meeting's over, would really just kind of, it would offend the headman of the village. And so I said, well, there has to be a better way. So I went to the headman and I said, what can we do? Can we stop this village? Can we stop this meeting? Clearly what she's doing is wrong. And he said, well, we can't, because we invited her to the village. We invited her here. But what we can do is, next week, you can come, and you can speak on behalf of God. And those words, I can still remember them, because in the whole time that I've been in Africa, never before have I really realized the full weight of what it is that we do as missionaries. Then right there at that moment, right in the Ben Jerry village, when the head man looked at me and said, come back next week and you can speak on behalf of God. Because isn't that what we do? Yeah. Isn't that as witnesses, as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, isn't that what we are? We're to go out and just to speak on behalf of God. And so I had a week to prepare. And it's hard because, I mean, the Bible's a big book, and you're kind of wondering, where do you start? And so we went through, and we came back, and they were all there underneath the tree again. They're waiting for us a week later. We pulled up, and they even brought out the chair for me, which we said, we'll stand. And we opened to James chapter 4. And they couldn't read, so we read for them. And we read, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. You know, when we look at missions, we kind of wonder, what can we do? Well, you know what? The answer really is, we can't do anything. But God can do something through us. And God can work through us if we would simply submit. If we would just simply submit to His will for our life. You know, and we can look at those people 8,000 miles away in that remote village in Africa, and we can say, surely those people have chosen not to submit. Surely those people are not like us, we who are here who have chosen God's way. But you know, when I came back and I was just recalling all these events in my mind, I was thinking, you know what, we're not going to go to a witch doctor. I mean, I hope you're not going to go to a witch doctor at the church today, but we're not going to do that. But in how many ways do we refuse to submit to God as well? And yes, we're brought up within this American culture where we are so blessed and we have church and we have all of these things at our disposal. But with everything that we have, I almost feel like church has become more of a ritual. Yeah. And we come and we worship, but we don't think about what we say or what we sing when we worship. And we come and we go through the routine, and it becomes a ritual instead of a walk with Jesus Christ. And so if we want, I was looking at the theme, what are they among so many? And so when I was thinking about what can we do? Well, God can do anything. But have we chosen to submit? Have we really chosen to submit? It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. You know, when we choose to submit to God, sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes we don't want to, because when we put our life in God's hands, there's an element where we're unsure of what He's going to do. We're unsure of where He's going to lead us. And to say, Lord, just take my life and use it, and I just surrender everything to You. I want to be used by You. In the back of our mind, I'm sure we're kind of wondering, oh no, is God going to send me to Africa? You know, and maybe God won't send you to Africa. You know, but maybe He wants you just to follow Him. Maybe He just wants you to be His disciple. Isn't that the greatest thing that we all can do? Is just to follow Jesus Christ? And wherever that leads us, then that's where we go. But the greatest thing we can do is say, Lord, I just want to follow You. I want to be a follower of You and Your word. You know, as missionaries, we drive quite often around the states. And it's hard because a lot of times I do all the driving. But occasionally I'm letting Lisa drive. Where is she? And I don't know if it's because I'm Italian or if it's just because of some other reason, but I have a hard time being a passenger in the car when we drive. In fact, when I'm in the passenger seat, I am constantly looking at how fast we're going, and I'm looking at the GPS, I'm wondering, did she make the right turn? I'm looking at the yellow line, and I'm like, Lisa, we're going to go off the road. And I'm sure that we're going to die at some point along the way. And that's just the way I am. And it's hard. It really is. But you know, I was thinking, isn't that how we are with God? Because when we talk about submitting to God and surrendering to Him and allowing Him to work through us, we have to place ourselves in the passenger seat, and we're watching Him try to work in our life, and we want Him to lead the way. But so often, we're wondering, what is he doing in my life, and where is he leading me, and how is everything going to come together? You know, as Americans, we love having a plan. That's one thing that we do well. You know, going to Africa, it took me years in Africa to realize that there is no plan. You just kind of, you know, do whatever, and you go to the village, and it doesn't matter what time it is or anything like that. But here, we have such a system where we're organized and where everything just fits in a row, and we like that, and we excel in that. But sometimes, we excel too much in that, where we want that control, and we feel like we're in control of our life, and we feel like we need to plot the course, and God needs to follow. But we need to ask ourselves and say, am I following God? Is God even in a position where he can lead me and show me his word and his way? It goes on in verse 7, and it says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, the devil's real. You know, in Africa, I see him probably a little more clearly than we do here in the States, but you can definitely see the work of the devil here. You can see his work in politics, the entertainment industry, the media, and the list can go on and on and on, and we can see how the devil is really just infiltrating the home, how he's infiltrating the ranks of the saved. And the funny thing is that we're not resisting. We're not really standing on anything, and we're just kind of following what everyone else is doing, and we're bending to what the will is of the general public. I'm not saying we need to go and picket, but we do need to resist. We need to resist our flesh that wants this control. We need to resist this flesh of ours that wants to do things our way. We need to resist this overwhelming presence of the world that wants to draw us in, to take us away from God and what he wants for our life. We need to resist. But as it goes on, verse 8, it says, not only in resisting, but it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And I think that's one of the greatest promises in the Word, because basically, if we take a step close to God, then he's going to take a step closer to us. Amen. But you know, as Christians, the one thing we desperately need is we need God. We need his presence in our life. We need his power. And without that, what are we doing? You know, without God in this missions program, what can we accomplish? Where can we go? You know, when I'm in Africa, and, you know, I'm holding my children who have malaria and possibly could die, I need to know that God is near. Yeah. I need to know. You know, when we were, you know, medevacing my son when he had that life-threatening situation, I had to know that God was near. And we have these different situations in our life, but whatever we do and wherever we are and whatever ministry in the church or as an individual, we need to make sure that God is with us. We need to make sure that we are working with him and that we're not just pulling him along. Yeah. Say, okay, Lord, just follow me. Follow what we want to do. It says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. You know, the closer we get to God, and the more we look at this book right here, you know what we're going to see? We're going to see how sinful we are. We're going to look at this book, and when we compare ourselves to Christ, and when we look at Christ and his holiness and his righteousness, we can really see how far off we are. It says right there we should cleanse our hands, our actions, the things that we're doing or not doing. It says we should purify our hearts, our motives for the things that we're doing. And it says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. When we see our condition in the light of God's word, in the light of his holiness, it should cause us to mourn, to weep, and to realize that maybe we aren't we aren't in God's will where we should be. Maybe we aren't working how we can be. But you know, that's not a continual place that we can be in, because in verse 10 it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And that kind of brings us full circle. We started in verse 7 with submission to God, and we're ending now in humility. Because the truth is that we cannot submit ourselves to God, and we can't come to him and say, Lord, take my life, unless we're willing to humble ourselves. Unless we're willing to come before him in humility and say, Lord, I'm nothing. And my life may be little, but the little that I have and what you've given me, Lord, I want to give it back to you. And I want you to take it and to use it in whatever way that you can. You know, when I go in Africa to the village and I see the chief, you know, I'm not going to go up to the chief and say, hey, chief, high five, all right. Yeah, I'm not going to give him a fist bump. Nothing like that. He's the chief.
Yeah.
And when I go to the chief in the village, and I know a lot of people who don't do this, but there's a protocol. And I'll come to him, and I have to kind of clap like this, and then he'll bid me to come, and then I'll advance. And even as I get closer, I'm going to kind of bend down. And even in this position, I'm not going to do anything until he extends his hand. And then when he does, then I'll go forward and I'll shake and then clap again. There's a whole protocol that shows honor and respect and humility. Because when I'm down here, I'm thinking, why in the world do I have to do this? I'm an American. Americans don't lower themselves. But the thing is that why would we have to submit? Because he's the chief. I'm in his kingdom. I'm working in the villages in his area. But who's our chief?
Yes.
Who's our king? And why can't we submit ourselves to him? Why can't we yield ourselves to him and humble ourselves and say, Lord, use me. Take me. Because often we look at ourselves as the chief. Often we look at ourselves and things in our life become about our own glory instead of uplifting the glory of God. Missions is about God's glory. It's about taking his word and taking his gospel and uplifting his name throughout the nations. It's about giving the glory to God. But it says there that we need to humble ourselves, and he shall lift you up if we submit. If we submit to him, God can do anything. And you know, on that day in the village, when we were there and we had gone through this text, you know, I could tell that a lot of people didn't really care for it. In fact, I noticed the ones that were helping the witch doctor a week earlier, they were quite visibly annoyed. But then there were others who were on this side who I could tell were a little happier. They were still smiling. And the headman came back and he said, you need to come back next week. And I said, okay, we can do that. And we came back next week and we opened up in the book of Genesis and we started from there. We went to the next week. We came back the following week. And it just became a weekly thing. And watching the people grow and watching the people just take in God's word. And you know what? They didn't know hardly anything. I mean, and many of the things that we were teaching them, they were hearing for the first time.
Yep.
But they took what they were receiving and they ran with it. And they reacted to it and they accepted it. Now, us here in the States, we have so much more than that. God has blessed us in so many ways beyond that. What are we doing with what God has given us? And will we do our part where we can go, not just in sending missionaries perhaps and funding different works around the world, but in what way can we as an individual, as individuals, as a church, go out and make an impact on this world? Can we submit to God? You know, when we get to the point where we can look at God and say, Lord, I am such a sinner. I am so sinful. But can you use me? Can you just take me? And as we kneel before him on bended knee, in humility, in submission, That's when God can say, you know what? Now I can use you.
Yes.
Now I can take the little that you have and I can do something. If we would just submit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's so good to be in your house again. Good to be here.